Hello everyone, this is Rebecca Hosking and you are listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Thank you for listening.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast. I'd like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, today I have a very special guest on the line, country recording artist Rebecca Hawkins. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's, you know, Rebecca, I want to say something to you. I had seen one of your friends, I believe it was, post one of your songs on Facebook. I got to tell you, I went and clicked on your Reverb page and I listened to the song. The song I'm referring to is called No Reason. I was absolutely, I was mesmerized by that song. It was, to me, it just touched my heart in a mighty way. And I said to myself, I says, gosh, I says, I would love to get her on my show. So I went ahead and you know, got together with you. And I just truly want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, you giving me this opportunity to share not only your story, but your music as well. So thank you.
Wow. And thank you. I really appreciate that. That makes me smile really big. That song means a lot to me as well. And to hear that it moved you the way it did, it makes me feel very good as an artist.
Now, what I'd like to do is start this out. How did you originally get into the music industry? And what was it that really had inspired you to do what you do today?
It all started, I met a woman, her name was Cheryl Jones, and I was working at a music store, and I was just a kid at the time, and she came in and gave me a handful of CDs and asked if we could sell her CDs on consignment and invited me to her CD release party and said we could, all the employees could join it for free and just come and check them out and as a thank you for us selling her CDs. So I went and I checked her out and it was awesome. She floored me and I was in awe of her and I saw her perform and I said to myself that moment, I want to do what she does and been learning ever since.
That's wonderful. Now, you had teamed up with an individual and came out with, I believe it's your first CD called A Few Broken Pieces. Tell us how that got started.
No, that's not my first CD, actually. My very first CD I've ever done, I have four, and well, now I have five because I just finished a new one. But my first CD was called Love and Other Disasters, and I worked with a gentleman named Scott Newmert, and who is now my producer. And I was doing a lot of work here in Nashville and writing with other people and kind of felt slighted as an artist. I felt like some of the people that I was writing with were kind of giving me attitude, like they were just, you know, being nice to have me in the room or whatever, and it made me mad. And I wanted to show Nashville what I could do on my own, so I recorded Love and Other Disasters, no co-writes, just myself, presented it to Scott Newbert, and he helped me produce it and get it out there, and it actually did quite well. So that was my first experience. That just sort of fueled my fire to want to do more. And now, five albums later, I'm still kicking and still trying to get it out there.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I mean, I was not aware of all that. However, I was just under the assumption of, you know, the album A Few Broken Pieces. However, I did know you were in the studio, you know, working on something new. So I really got to go back a little bit and see what's out there. Do a little more homework, if you will.
I encourage you to do so. I'm very proud of my work. And I've worked with Scott Newbert on all of my albums except for one. My Mother's Child, I had a different producer work with me. His name is Dave Isaacs. And I was looking to get an album that was a little bit more edgier, more rock and roll, not so much traditional country. And he gave me exactly what I asked for. I was very pleased with the end result. It just didn't really speak to my fans, I think, because it was very different from what I normally do. So the album I released after that which was called My Soul Is Already Sold, I just went back to my roots and goes from there. I am my music is very traditional type country, and it's my voice, and I really owe Scott Neuberg a lot because I feel like he was very instrumental in creating my voice, and we have a good partnership as far as music is concerned, and I'm really happy with the direction that my career has taken with the work that I've done with him.
Well, that's wonderful. What I would like to do now is talk about the CD, A Few Broken Pieces. Now, I had listened to the entire CD, and like I said, it is an absolutely amazing CD. However, I have chosen several songs that I would like to play. And the first song that I would like to play is a song called No Reason. Would you mind giving the listeners a little history about that song?
No Reason was a song that I wrote. The entire album, A Few Broken Pieces, is a very cathartic album for me. I just went through a couple of really rough years, and it was just No Reason was the song that I wrote after I just decided I felt like Phoenix. I was out. I was ready to get back into things and just not let life break me down the way it had in the past. And that song is basically me pulling up my bootstraps and saying, hey, we're just going to have to move forward and quit looking backwards. And that's what that song is all about.
Awesome. Well, here it is. No Reason on Power Rock Podcast.
Dropped in daily, I drank the sin, then filled it again. A few regrets, but I saved a bit of money. I got a restless soul that needs to roam. And deep in quicksand and slowly sinking. I looked at the map to see where I'm at. Same bright lights, no matter the city.
Welcome back. We are with Rebecca. Rebecca, like I had said, what a beautiful song. Well written, well produced. You know, you got me hooked.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Coming from a guy who likes rock and roll, that's a huge compliment. Thank you.
You know, I like I said, I've had to learn to open my eyes and really just learn to appreciate all genres of music. But you're welcome. You know, I noticed in your biography that you have done some stuff with television, and you've got some stuff like on the TV show The Lost Girls, things like that. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved in that?
Just through pitching. This industry, anybody who's in it knows that it's really all about who you know, not so much what you know, and you have to build relationships. I've been doing this for a really long time, and networking and getting to know people. And I got a nice circle of friends who believe in my work and who have been really helping me out. And I eventually got a publisher, and they got me in with a licensing company called APM. And they're the ones that pitch my music to different TV and film opportunities. And that's how that came about. And then, you know, I've worked with many different companies and just, you know, keep putting it out there to as many people as I can get it to. Obviously, the more people, the better, and the more opportunities arise when you get it out to, you know, large numbers. So, yeah, that's, I just pitch it and hope for the best. It used to be cold calls that I would do. And then eventually, you know, you just get, they see your face and they see your name and they start appreciating and listening to your work. Just help you out. I don't know. I mean, it, obviously you have to have good music for them to take notice, but it you really do have to build those relationships first.
Okay, well, now let me ask you this one here. You know, you've been in the industry for quite a while now, and like you had stated before, you got five albums out. What is your opinion on the industry today as it was, per se, when you started? Do you see a drastic change in what's going on?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's pros and cons to the industry then and now. With the social media and the internet, the way that it is these days, it seems a little bit easier to knock some of the borders away. And you can, I've networked and made a lot of connections in the UK, which is where most of my success has been to date. And had it not been for the internet, I wouldn't have been able to do that unless I would actually go there and pitch face-to-face. But now that it's a total pro to the industry that you have that ability and you can get to a broader range of an audience and you know, improve on your demographic. And so I think that's a good thing. But it's also, the cons of it is it makes things a little less personal, and it's hard to build those relationships with people who can really truly help you, that believe in you. You just have to stay on it a little bit harder. It takes a little bit more time, and I don't know, it's harder to sell yourself when you're not facing.
Do you find it a little more difficult today to generate an income on what you do?
Yes, absolutely. I used to tour quite a bit. I don't do that as much anymore, but it seemed like it used to be a lot easier to have places pay you to perform. Now it's just like everybody says, oh, well, you can play for exposure, but they don't want to pay you, or they expect you to bring the crowd. And, you know, so you're not getting paid. You have to bring the crowd. So it's like, I don't know. It kind of makes you feel slighted as an artist, because it's like they're not really appreciating the fact that what you do is a job, and you have to make a living just as much as the venues that you play at. So that's a little frustrating. And yeah, they don't seem to pay you as much anymore. So it is very difficult to make money in this business, and the competition is really, really steep.
Would you agree that you know, with digital media today, you know, when you iTunes and CD Baby and all these outlets that we have for to purchase music today, most people I have found, you know, are not buying full CDs. They're just downloading single tracks that they may prefer over other tracks on people's music. So would you agree that really the way to make a little bit of money would be through merchandising and playing live?
Absolutely. You know what? It is interesting because that is, again, a pro and a con. The fact that people are only buying single downloads is, I think that it's up the competition as far as music is concerned. There is, like, brilliant music out there in the indie world that never sees the light of day, which is a little frustrating, but it is excellent music that I personally feel you could play it right next to a top 40 radio artist and it would be better. So I do think that's a good thing, where it's making the quality of the music way better. People, you know, they realize that if you're going to do an album, every single song on that album has to have single hit potential. Otherwise, you're wasting your time and money, because ideally, nobody buys albums anymore. They buy those singles. If you want them to buy every single single, it has to be a hit song.
Right on. You know, I like what you said, you know, as far as, you know, when we compare indie to mainstream, through my experience, I have come across some of the most amazing indie bands out there that absolutely need exposure, but have a difficult time doing it. And, you know, that is one of the reasons why I started my little show, because I'm all about the little guy. You know, I want to be able to take somebody who has something wonderful to offer and be a part of sharing it with the world, because I've done interviews all over the world, and letting them know people out there need to hear you. And, you know, your mainstream artists, they've already got it locked down. And, you know, how many times can you hear the same song over and over again on the radio? Because that's what's happening.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, the indie artist today has their back up against the wall. So self-promotion, interviews, things like that are...
Yeah, it's very difficult as an indie artist to compete against mainstream, just because mainstream has the money and indie artists are funding themselves. So, you know, we can't dump thousands of dollars into promotions to compete with mainstream, because we just don't have it.
Right on.
But, it's good music out there. And the frustrating thing with labels, though, is after you've spent the time, energy, and money building a fan base, well, then they come in and say, hey, we can help you out. It's like, well, I needed you a few years ago, not now.
I get it. I understand. Rebecca, let's go ahead and go back to the album, A Few Broken Pieces. And the next song I want to talk about is called Spare Parts. Can you give the listeners some history about that one as well?
Yeah, Spare Parts was sort of like a stream of conscience song that I wrote. I was just kind of just hanging out and chilling and just wrote whatever was in my head. It's more of an emotion versus telling a story, you know? It's just, you know, dreaming about meeting that one person that changes your world and taking that chance and hoping that, you know, they feel the same way.
Well, tell you what, here it is, Spare Parts on Power Rock Podcast.
Don't be fooled by the ragged construction. rusty pieces to mend this heart. You can't break what's already been broken. Put back together with these spare parts. When I close my eyes, I think of you, I think of two, think of all the things that we can do. And I want to let myself go and walk the fire, a burning desire. Let the flame climb higher and higher. And you've gotten under my skin, and I want to see you again. Don't be fooled by the ragged construction. Use rusty pieces to mend this heart. You can't break what's already been broken. Put back together with these spare parts. Fear is stronger than faith. The truth is absolute. Love is a chance we take. That sometimes leaves a bruise. Don't be fooled by the ragged construction. Use rusty pieces to mend this heart. What's already been broken, put back together with these spare parts. Put back together with these spare parts.
Okay, again, we are back with Rebecca. Rebecca, I have to say again, another beautiful song. You know, hats off to you, sweetie. It's great job.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. From what I understand, Rebecca, you also have like a little side project. You, if I understood it correctly, you're writing a book or have something to do with a book?
I am, yes. It's a book of poetry, and another project that I've done that was just a little piece of, you know, a little piece of me. I have a beautiful support group that helps me out. They call themselves the Hoskets. I think that is so cool, and they are so awesome to me. And I also draw pictures, and I write. I'm a freelance writer as well. So I just wanted to give something back to them and teach them a little bit more about me, to let them know me as a person versus just a musician. And so that's what how the book came about. And I'm really excited. I just finished it. It went to print yesterday. So I'm just waiting to get them in my hands before I can sell them.
That is awesome. Congratulations. How important do you feel it is to intermingle with your fans on social network? And I ask you this for a specific reason, because I know a lot of people, especially in the mainstream world, they get on social media, and I'm not dogging anybody. It's kind of like a pet peeve of mine, if you will, but they will, you know, talk about their projects and they won't respond to anybody. So a question to you is, how important is it to you to intermingle with your fans?
Well, for me, It is extremely vital. As an artist, in my opinion, without an audience, you are nobody. So, and I tell them this all the time, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I cannot be me without them. So I feel that they deserve my time, and if they want to talk to me, I want to be available for them because they are available for me. They listen to my music. They buy my music. They encourage me every day, and they pick me up when I'm low. So I'm hoping that I can give back to them the way that they give to me. They're my audience. I can't be me without them. I don't know any other way to say that. It's just, and it's true. I feel that it's extremely important, and I want them to feel important because they are. I don't have a career without them.
Well said. The next song I would like to talk about, Trading Heaven for Hell. Can you give us again some history about that song?
Yes. That song is interesting because a lot of people don't realize this, but, you know, there's only so many ways you can say I love you or so many ways you can write a breakup song. I mean, ultimately, every song is about, you know, either meeting someone, breaking up, or, you know, living with someone and happy. So it's just I read a lot, and I was reading a book about a woman who was married to an alcoholic. This book, like, really moved me, and I loved the main character. She was the most tough woman I've ever seen in my life, but she stuck through his antics and stayed with him. But I personally thought that she was a victim, and I felt like he used her and abused her, and if it was me, I wouldn't have stayed. So I wrote that song coming from her point of view, but I had her leave him versus staying. So I wrote the song to basically rewrite the ending of the book.
All right, well, here it is, Trading Heaven for Hell.
Secrets you keep hidden, you think are safe if you never tell. Must be a lonely life you're living, always trading heaven for hell. God tried to save you. Stronger and continue to fight tooth and nail. Now the price is too steep, and there's nothing left here to sell. Must be a lonely life you're living, always trading hell. Stop me, you don't think I'm worth fighting for. My kindness makes you angry, and for me your love's become a chore. I hope you find the treasure that releases you from. I'm afraid if I stay here, I'll be giving up my freedom for your jail. It's the hardest thing I've ever done, squashing this penny on a rail. It's a lonely life. kindness makes you angry, and for me your love's become a chore.
Back with Rebecca once again, another beautiful song. Rebecca, I want to ask you one more question and we're going to go ahead and close the show out, okay? As an artist, what type of legacy or how do you want to be remembered as an artist from your family and friends?
That is an interesting question because I don't have any children and I feel like my music and my writing will be my legacy when I'm gone. And so I want to put out the best product that I can. I view my music and my writing as my children, and I want the rest of the world to view my children and love them as much as I do. And I want it to have longevity, and I want, you know, years from now when I'm dead and gone, I want the world to still know Rebecca Hosking wrote this song and still listening to it and have it move them the same way that it does today. That's what I hope to do and accomplish with my music career. I want to leave something behind, and I want people to love it and appreciate it, and so that I'm still around when I'm not around anymore.
Amen, sister. That's wonderful. We're going to go ahead and close this out. Rebecca, I truly want to thank you once again, like I had stated in the beginning, from the bottom of my heart, you taking your time to give me a call. It's truly been informative to me. I wish we had more time to talk, but again, thank you.
It's been a huge pleasure for me, and I appreciate you having me, and I really appreciate what you do for helping all of us indie artists.
Well, that was very kind of you, and I greatly appreciate it. Well, there you have it, an interview with Rebecca Hosking on Power Rock Podcast. I want to say to my friends, everybody out there, don't wait for the blessing. Be the blessing. We're going to go ahead and close the show out with one more song from Rebecca. This one here is called No Comfort. Peace.
So why do you like to keep me guessing? Is that your way to keep me on the edge of my seat? I hurt inside, can't seem to find no comfort. Lay down, down beside me. So why do you like to see me suffer? Is that your way of showing off your strength? You die. Gave up and gave in to lesson.